Thank you very much. Human Rights Watch has been on the ground in Zimbabwe for about the past 4 years now, and we've had the the same researcher, luckily, working on Zimbabwe all this time. So we have developed very good contacts on the ground. We're producing reports and working very closely with our colleagues at Zim Lawyers for Human Rights on a daily basis. In fact, they've bailed us out of some sticky situations in certain parts of Zimbabwe. So we're very grateful for their support and collaboration. The human rights situation, as some of you may know, in Zimbabwe is and has been appalling and a complete disaster. The government continues to repress all manner of political opposition, students groups, teachers, any person or group who they consider to be in opposition to the ruling party. This election was simply quite the same as the previous elections. In fact, we called our report that we put out on the elections on March 19th all over again. Human rights abuses and flawed electoral processes in Zimbabwe, which is sitting outside. And as Otto said, in spite of some improvements to electoral laws, which would have only happened with pressure from Zim lawyers and others, the election was still not held in a way that was fully free and fair. But in spite of that, it's quite clear that the result isn't what the ruling party would have wanted. I don't want to go into a lot of discussion about past human rights abuses, which we've laid out in many of our reports. Let me just say that one very serious situation occurred a few years ago, which still has not been addressed and just shows the level of impunity across the country and the continuing ability of the ruling party, its supporters, the police, the army and state security to do what it wants, is you may recall that a few years ago the government evicted huge amounts of people, thousands and thousands of people from various areas in Harare and other places. And they actually called this Operation Cleanse the Filth. And filth is people. And that situation has never been resolved. Many, many thousands of those people are still living homeless in Harare on the run, or they've been shipped out to the rural areas where there is a real problem with access to food, medical care, and other things. This situation was never dealt with properly, and it remains a real stain on the human rights record of the government. In the wake of the election, and as you know, the presidential results still have not been announced, we are very concerned that the human rights situation will deteriorate. It is at this point, though, and I think Otto would agree, we are still at a point where appropriate advocacy and action can prevent a huge deterioration. We think there's still things that can be done, and this is where all our advocacy needs to be focused. The reports we're getting is that there are sporadic incidents of violence across the country, particularly in the rural areas and in those constituencies that voted for the MDC. And in fact, one sinister turn that was taken is that when the polling results were posted, as was said, which was seen as a very positive feature, a big change, but now they're being used to go after people, to go after those who voted for the opposition. So that is not a good consequence of what has been happening. It is unclear at this point exactly what the level and extent of violence is across the country, because many independent researchers, journalists, and others cannot get into certain areas. Access is still being restricted. So the reports that we're getting are from small groups of NGOs on the ground who are able to work with some of the victims. We think it's probably in greater numbers than what has been reported. And Our concern is that if and when these results are announced, depending on which way they go, as we said, the situation will rapidly deteriorate. And you will see more beatings, more rounding up of the opposition, more of a crackdown on media and journalists, the few that are still able to operate within the country. You know, we've heard appalling reports about people being walked on by police and army, being made to eat their shoes, being made to do all kinds of horrible things, make denouncements about who they support in stadiums and other things. Some of this is not verified. We're in the process now of verifying this and trying to get out to the rural areas, because obviously if this is going on, it has to be exposed in the hopes that some action will be taken to stop this sort of thing. The other aspect of the human rights situation that we're very concerned about, of course, is the impunity that rules the roost in Zimbabwe. And one of our big concerns with any discussion about the formation of a government of national unity, which I think Otto and Fabienne may talk about, which is sort of out there, that there may need to be some sort of accommodation made between the MDC and the ruling party, that those who have been most abusive within the government, within the army, within the state security services, cannot be part of this government. They need to be somehow dealt with, because it will be, as we keep saying, you know, the same sort of repression and authoritarian rule. So something needs to be done on this front, and there are differing views about how to approach that. And you know, we can have a discussion about that, but at this point it may be a bit premature to have that discussion, since we don't know exactly what's going to happen in the next days and weeks. Regarding advocacy, our target, as we call it right now, is the African Union. We feel that SADC has failed completely, especially not even, of course, condemning or drawing attention to the massive human rights violations, which continue to be the root cause of the political repression and the electoral violations and the continuity of the very bad situation for people there. That there has never been any public recognition of this by SADC, certainly not by South Africa, which we also think failed in this regard. And it's really inexcusable and shameful in our view. They are, of course, putting their own political interests to some extent in the interests of, for whatever reason, having Mugabe have a nice exit, at the expense of the vast majority of Zimbabweans. We're also concerned that if any deal is reached in a government of national unity, that puts Makoni in, who is the one of the independent candidates, or the independent candidate in place, who actually didn't receive a lot of the vote. That is not actually meeting the electoral will of Zimbabweans, and in many ways is a violation of their political rights. So we're very concerned about that as well in this negotiation. That may happen. We're not sure where that's going at this point. So what we'd like to see, and I think Otto may talk about this a bit more, is we'd like to see the African Union step up to the plate here, call an emergency summit, and try to address the situation in a much more concrete fashion, and we have a number of recommendations in that regard. But I think I'll stop here and let Fabienne and Otto continue.
Before you go, let me quickly ask you a question.
Sure.
If you look back over this year, it has been striking that at no point has there been a voice within the region talking about the human rights issues, even though it's clearly that provoked them to get engaged. It was the pictures of people who had been beaten in jail that were flashed around the world that caused SADC to call a summit in the first place. Do you have any experience having been watching this closely over this past year, that there's been any concern at governmental level in the region about that specific issue, the human rights abuse?
We've had some indication that there is some concern, but there will never be public statements made and public condemnations. That is not the way SADC operates. I think the bigger concern is, of course, an economic one to some extent. As you know, Zimbabweans still continue to flood over the border into South Africa, and if the situation deteriorates further, there will probably be more going over the border. That's a huge financial and economic burden for South Africa. They're also getting criticized for the way they treat asylum seekers, especially Zimbabweans in South Africa. Also, as you know, the economic situation there is really in a huge downward spiral, worse than ever, and that has implications for the entire region. So these may be some of the concerns that pushed SADC again to call this summit rather than the human rights concerns. But some would argue that the fact that people are even talking about perhaps a Mugabe exit, although I leave that to others to talk about, shows that maybe they're getting a bit fed up with the constant criticism of the human rights record and the situation that is not improving in the least.